morgon, det här är Radio Nacka 99,9 MHz. 7:02 snart är klockan. Fredagen den 3 september 2004. 99,9 MHz och radiolars.com kan man höra dessa program på. Jag heter Lasse Lundeberg och hans utgivare är radioföreningen Nacka. Ja, vi har nu 14 grader här i Nacka och mest mulet har det varit här under morgonen. Jag gick upp i 5 i morse och vi har lite sol som liksom tittar fram lite grann så där mellan molnen. Så jag undrar hur det kommer att gå. Det ska bli spännande. Det blir väl så här lite halvklart idag under fredagen. Och uppehåll lovar de i alla fall så att det inte ska bli något regnande, säger de. Och en 20 grader kommer vi få i alla fall under dagen. Solen gick upp 5.33 och går ner 19.43. Bland de stora nyheterna här utrikes så har vi då den fruktansvärt helt ofattbara otrevliga gisslanockupationen borta i Ryssland. Den lägsta och lägsta att börja ta barn som gisslan, men de här Al-Qaida-typerna har i alla fall släppt en del barn fria, de yngsta. Och förmodligen för att det är så bökigt att hålla reda på dem, för att är man gisslantagare så blir man ju på något sätt ansvarig för folks väl och ve. Ungarna vill gå på toaletten, de vill ha vatten och mat och det är allt möjligt, de skriker och sånt där, så att förmodligen har väl de här Al-Qaida-typerna gjort sig av med några barn, men inte då genom att ha ihjäl dem, för det kanske de tycker skulle sätta dem i sämre ställning just nu. Så att det här att de har frihet några barn är väl inte någon barmhärtighet. Jag hörde på TV de sa igår på, om det var Aktuellt Rapport, att det är någon form av barmhärtighet det här. Och alltså, jag måste säga, jag undrar ibland över svenska journalister. Om man har öppnat med att ta massa barn som gisslan och sen, ja, de kanske är barmhärtiga som låter en del gå. Nej, 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 nej. Med absolut största sannolikhet så är det så att det är för bökigt att ha hand om dem. Och det passar dem inte nu att ha ihjäl dem just nu. De har fler de kan ta av och ha ihjäl. Så det är därför de låter en del av de här yngsta gå, som är lite besvärliga och skrika och sådär. Och kräver omvårdnad. Det är väl lättare att hålla tyst med de som är lite äldre. Så ja, men det är naturligtvis så ligger till, annars vore det konstigt. Men man kan ju inte begära för mycket av svensk journalistik. Och jag pratade igår om vad Bin Laden hade sagt. Att han hade, om man följt vad hans planer är, hans tal, vad han säger, så kommer det här som hände med kidnappen inte som en överraskning. Han har pratat om att han kan ha många fler barn än i väst. Så att han har råd att offra barn. Men väst har svårt för det. De är fega och vill inte offra sina barn. Och han har också pratat om Tjetjenien ofta i sina tal. Och att han inte ser några världsgränser, utan att det här är en världsrevolution, så att säga, han jobbar på. Så mot bakgrund av det, att det var val i Tjetjenien, att de slog till nu med olika då. Det kommer inte alls som överraskning. Det stämmer ju med hela linjen. Och det är mot demokrati. Bin Laden har sagt att det är en skymf mot Gud för människan att tro att man ska få stifta lagar över sig själv. Det ska bara Gud göra. Och det är djävulens verk, det här med demokrati. Man ska inte skymfa Gud genom att stifta lagar. Man ska bara följa hans lagar. Sen är det klart att sen är det Bin Laden som uttalar sig av Guds vägnar. Det kanske där faller lite då, att han då vet mer om Gud än alla vi andra har förstått. Så att det kanske där ekvationen inte riktigt går ihop. Men man kan säga att det är skymfande mot Gud att uttala sig hans vägnar så där utan vidare, om man vill. Men så det är det som händer där borta. Och jag hörde Laila Freivalds, vår utrikesminister, säga något fruktansvärt idiotiskt. Det är så här att Bin Laden har nu uttalat sig mot demokrati. Demokratin vill störa. Det har pågått väldigt många explosioner mot vallokaler runt om i världen. Och det är inte för inte som man då dels har vetat om att det här med valet i Tjetjenien kan innebära terrorrisker, men även i USA där man har val så har man höjt säkerheten enormt nu, för man är orolig för dåd mot det amerikanska valet. Det är alltså val man vill störa och demokratin man vill störa. Man tar bara den här bussen någonstans i Asien där folk var, en del var på väg till en vallokal, och några Al-Qaida-typer stormade bussen och visiterade alla. Alla som hade röstkort på sig mördades, sköts ihjäl på fläcken. Så det är helt enkelt en kamp mot demokratin, vilket inte är så konstigt, det är ju så det är. Det verkar inte så när det har gått upp riktigt. Jag hörde Laila Freivalds med någon journalist frågande vad det här kunde vara med ockupanterna i Ryssland och det här med Tjetjenien, och han sa hon var inne på linjen att det kanske är för att valet inte har gått riktigt bra, för det är vissa valobservatörer till valet i Tjetjenien som inte är riktigt nöjda med hur valet gick till. Och då var Freivalds inne på att det kan vara det de protesterar mot. Nej. De vill inte ha någon demokrati, de här radikala islamisterna som tar gisslan och mördar och skjuter. Det är demokrati de är emot. De har definitivt inte protesterat mot att valet i Tjetjenien inte gick perfekt till. Precis tvärtom, de vill inte ha någon val alls. Så Laila Freivalds har verkligen, hon borde ha dumbomössan på sig, för jag för sånt idiotiskt sagt att hon spekulerade att det kunde vara att de protesterar mot valet som inte var schysst. Okay. Ja, det är den där dagliga marineringen som gör att det kan vara svårt att göra en analys då, antar jag, även om man är utrikesminister. Så man kunde ju önska att journalisterna kunde ge en liten bättre bild. Och igår på Sveriges Television klockan 10 var ett program från BBC som ingick i Dokument utifråns bild av världen. Och det handlade om terrorister i Europa. Och tyvärr, det här programmet var fullt med såna här bild- och ljuddiarré med bara massa klipp, och det var fejkade, det var spelade sekvenser och dramatiserat och massa tjafs och ljudeffekter och klipp och klipp och fram och tillbaka och hit och dit. Så att det var väldigt, väldigt svårt att följa själva innehållet. Men om man ansträngde sig riktigt djupt och försökte liksom se under all den här ljud- och bildarren, så kunde man få en bild av ett Europa där säkerhetstjänsterna i England, i Frankrike, i Italien, i Tyskland med flera länder är de här terroristerna på spåren. Och det är ganska avancerade planer och ganska stort nätverk av de här Al-Qaida-terroristerna även i Europa. Och hur säkerhetstjänsterna jobbar på ganska hårt med att försöka avslöja de här och få fast dem innan de ställer till brott. Och så den bilden fick man minst av programmet, och det är bra att det framhålls. Kan ju behövas. Programmet sänds på repris på söndag klockan 13:15 också, om någon är intresserad. Det är på TV1 antar jag. Men sen bort i Amerika har man då Republican National Convention, och det var väl avslutningen här i morse svensk tid när självaste presidenten George Bush talade. Och så det var ganska intressant. Han började de första 5 minuterna med att bara hylla sin fru först då, Laura Bush, och sina döttrar och sin bror och syster och sina föräldrar. Och sin vicepresident med flera. Så det var lite sådana allmänt gullande och sånt som det började med i 5 minuter innan han kom in på själva det intressanta innehållet. Så jag tänkte spela upp det, men jag hoppar över det här gullandet i början, de här 5 minuterna. Det var bergs 5 minuter ovationer när han klev in på scen också, innan han fick chans att börja tala efter att jubel ifrån republikanerna. Och så var det någon demonstration där i mitten också. Det var några som försökte störa det här, men han fortsatte att tala och så vidare. Så vi ska väl ta och lyssna på det om en liten stund. Vi kan ju smyga in redan nu här, höra lite. Ja, nu pratar han om sin fru. Han pratar om sin fru som han träffade för många år sedan, 26 år sedan till en Laura Welsh hette hon då. Gifte sig och blev Bush. Hon gifte sig efter så bara 3 månader. Och George Bush hade en stökig tid med alkoholism, och han var riktig festare och sån där riktig festprisse som far runt och så får runt. Och sen fann han Gud, blev religiös, ny, alltså protestant och newborn again, Christian som det kallas. Det vi skulle kalla för frireligiös här i Sverige. Protestant då. Och sen har han sträckt upp sig, och nu lever han väl ett väldigt hedervärt, moraliskt hedervärt liv, måste man säga. Och fördelen med George Bush är att han säger vad han tycker och tycker vad han säger. Han står för vad han tycker. Och hans största nackdel är att han har svårt att formulera sig tjusigt i tal, både att få orden att komma rätt då. och så vidare. Så nu pratar han om sin far här också. Det här är Radio Nacka 99,9 och radiolars.com.
Two months from today, voters will make a choice based on the records we have built, the convictions we hold, and the vision that guides us forward. A presidential election is a contest for the future. Tonight, I will tell you where I stand, what I believe, and where I will lead this country in the next 4 years. I believe every child can learn, and every school must teach. So we passed the most important federal education reform in history. Because we acted, children are making sustained progress in reading and math. America's schools are getting better, and nothing will hold us back. I believe we have a moral responsibility to honor America's seniors. So I brought Republicans and Democrats together to strengthen Medicare. Now seniors are getting immediate help buying medicine. Soon every senior will be able to get prescription drug coverage, and nothing will hold us back. I believe in the energy and innovative spirit of America's workers, entrepreneurs, farmers, and ranchers, so we unleash that energy with the largest tax relief in a generation. Because we acted, our economy is growing again and creating jobs, and nothing will hold us back. I believe the most solemn duty of the American president is to protect the American people. If America shows uncertainty or weakness in this decade, the world will drift toward tragedy. This will not happen on my watch.
Det är givetvis en markering mot John Kerry som har sagt att man först ska vänta på blandgripen innan man reagerar. Och George Bush som säger att man ska först stoppa angreppen innan de kommer till USA.
President with a clear and positive plan to build a safer world and a more hopeful America. I'm running with a compassionate conservative philosophy that government should help people improve their lives, not try to run their lives. I believe this nation wants steady, consistent, principled leadership, and that is why, with your help, we will win this election. The story of America is the story of expanding liberty, an ever-widening circle, constantly growing to reach further and include more. Our nation's founding commitment is still our deepest commitment, in our world and here at home, we will extend the frontiers of freedom. The times in which we work and live are changing dramatically. The workers of our parents' generation typically had one job, one skill, one career, often with one company that provided health care and a pension. And most of those workers were men. Today, workers change jobs, even careers, many times during their lives. And in one of the most dramatic shifts our society has seen, 2/3 of all moms also work outside the home. This changed world can be a time of great opportunity for all Americans to earn a better living, support your family, and have a rewarding career. And government must take your side. Many of our most fundamental systems, the tax code, health coverage, pension plans, worker training, were created for the world of yesterday, not tomorrow. We will transform these systems so that all citizens are equipped, prepared, and thus truly free to make your own choices and pursue your own dreams. My plan begins with providing the security and opportunity of a growing economy. We now compete in a global market that provides new buyers for our goods, but new competition for our workers. To create more jobs in America, America must be the best place in the world to do business. To create jobs, my plan will encourage investment and expansion by restraining federal spending, reducing regulation, and making the tax relief permanent. To create jobs, we will make our country less dependent on foreign sources of energy. To create jobs, we will expand trade and level the playing field to sell American goods and services across the globe. And we must protect small business owners and workers from the explosion of frivolous lawsuits that threaten jobs across our country. Another drag in our economy is the current tax code, which is a complicated mess filled with special interest loopholes, saddling our people with more than 6 billion hours of paperwork and headache every year. The American people deserve, and our economic future demands, a simpler, fairer, pro-growth system. In a new term, I will lead a bipartisan effort to reform and simplify the federal tax code. Another priority in a new term will be to help workers take advantage of the expanding economy to find better and higher paying jobs. In this time of change, many workers want to go back to school to learn different or higher level skills. So we will double the number of people served by our principal job training program and increase funding for our community colleges. I know that with the right skills, American workers can compete with anyone, anywhere in the world. In this time of change, opportunity in some communities is more distant than in others. To stand with workers in poor communities and those that have lost manufacturing, textile, and other jobs, we will create American Opportunity Zones. In these areas, we will provide tax relief and other incentives to attract new business and improve housing and job training to bring hope and work throughout all of America. As I've traveled the country, I've met many workers and small business owners who have told me that they are worried they cannot afford health care. More than half of the uninsured are small business employees and their families. In a new term, we must allow small firms to join together to purchase insurance at the discounts available to big companies. We will offer a tax credit to encourage small businesses and their employees to set up health savings accounts and provide direct help for low-income Americans to purchase them. These accounts give workers the security of insurance against major illness, the opportunity to save tax-free for routine health expenses, and the freedom of knowing you can take your account with you whenever you change jobs. We will provide low-income Americans with better access to health care. In a new term, I will ensure every poor county in America has a community or rural health center. As I've traveled our country, I've met too many good doctors, especially OBGYNs, who are being forced out of practice because of the high cost of lawsuits. To make health care more affordable and accessible, we must pass medical liability reform now. And in all we do to improve health care in America, we will make sure that health decisions are made by doctors and patients, not by bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. In this time of change, government must take the side of working families. In a new term, we will change outdated labor laws to offer comp time and flex time. Our laws should never stand in the way of a more family-friendly workplace. Another priority for a new term is to build an ownership society, because ownership brings security and dignity and independence. Thanks to our policies, home ownership in America is at an all-time high. Tonight we set a new goal, 7 million more affordable homes in the next 10 years so more American families will be able to open the door and say, welcome to my home. In an ownership society, more people will own their health care plans and have the confidence of owning a piece of their retirement. We'll always keep the promise of Social Security for our older workers. With the huge baby boom generation approaching retirement, many of our children and grandchildren understandably worry whether Social Security will be there when they need it. We must strengthen Social Security by allowing younger workers to save some of their taxes in a personal account, a nest egg you can call your own and government can never take away. In all these proposals, we seek to provide not just a government program, but a path to greater opportunity, more freedom, and more control over your own life. And the path begins with our youngest Americans. To build a more hopeful America, we must help our children reach as far as their vision and character can take them. Tonight, I remind every parent and every teacher, I say to every child, no matter what your circumstance, no matter where you live, your school will be the path to promise of America. We are transforming our schools by raising standards and focusing on results. We are insisting on accountability, empowering parents and teachers, and making sure that local people are in charge of their schools. By testing every child, we are identifying those who need help. And we are providing a record level of funding to get them that help. In Northeast Georgia, Gainesville Elementary School is mostly Hispanic and 90% poor. And this year, 90% of its students passed state tests in reading and math. The principal expresses the philosophy of his school this way. We don't focus on what we can't do at this school. We focus on what we can do. And we do whatever it takes to get kids across the finish line. See, this principal is challenging the soft bigotry of low expectations. And that is the spirit of our education reform and the commitment of our country. No dejaremos a ningún niño atrás. We will leave no child behind.
We are making progress. I natt i sitt tal till republikanerna.
We are making progress and there is more to do. In this time of change, most new jobs are filled by people with at least 2 years of college. yet only about 1 in 4 students gets there. In our high schools, we will fund early intervention programs to help students at risk. We will place a new focus on math and science. As we make progress, we will require a rigorous exam before graduation. By raising performance in our high schools and expanding Pell Grants for low and middle-income families, we will help more Americans start their career with a college diploma. America's children must also have a healthy start in life. In a new term, we will lead an aggressive effort to enroll millions of poor children who are eligible but not signed up for the government's health insurance programs. We will not allow a lack of attention or information to stand between these children and the health care they need. Anyone who wants more details on my agenda can find them online. Yeah. The web address is not very imaginative, but it's easy to remember. GeorgeWBush.com. Yeah. These changing times can be exciting times of expanded opportunity. And here you face a choice. My opponent's policies are dramatically different from ours. Senator Kerry opposed Medicare reform and health savings accounts. After supporting my education reforms, he now wants to dilute them. He opposes legal and medical liability reform. He opposed reducing the marriage penalty, opposed doubling the child credit, opposed lowering income taxes for all who pay them. No, wait. To be fair, there are some things my opponent is for. He's proposed more than $2 trillion in federal spending so far, and that's a lot even for a senator from Massachusetts. And to pay for that spending, he is running on a platform of increasing taxes. And that's the kind of promise a politician usually keeps. His policies of tax and spend, of expanding government rather than expanding opportunity, are the politics of the past. We are on the path to the future, and we're not turning back.
George W. Bush från Republican National Convention. Det här höll talet höll han för några timmar sedan i natt svensk tid. Det är sista dagen på deras convention idag, torsdag. Ja, torsdag deras tid, var fredag här nu. Här har du Nacka 99,9. 4 år till skanderar publiken.
In this world of change, some things do not change. The values we try to live by, the institutions that give our lives meaning and purpose. Our society rests on a foundation of responsibility and character and family commitment. Because family and work are sources of stability and dignity, I support welfare reform that strengthens family and requires work. Because a caring society will value its weakest members, we must make a place for the unborn child. Because religious charities provide a safety net of mercy and compassion, our government must never discriminate against them. Because the union of a man and woman deserves an honored place in our society, I support the protection of marriage against activist judges. Continue to appoint federal judges who know the difference between personal opinion and the strict interpretation of the law. My opponent recently announced that he's the candidate of conservative values. Must have come as a surprise to a lot of his supporters. There's some problems with this claim. If you say the heart and soul of America is found in Hollywood, I'm afraid you are not the candidate of conservative values. If you voted against the Bipartisan Defense of Marriage Act, which President Clinton signed, you are not the candidate of conservative values. If you gave a speech, as my opponent did, calling the Reagan presidency 8 years of moral darkness, then you may be a lot of things, but the candidate of conservative values is not one of them. This election will also determine how America responds to the continuing danger of terrorism. And you know where I stand. Three days after September the 11th, I stood where Americans died. In the ruins of the Twin Towers, workers in hard hats were shouting to me, "Whatever it takes." A fellow grabbed me by the arm and he said, "Do not let me down." Since that day, I wake up every morning thinking about how to better protect our country. I will never relent in defending America, whatever it takes. We have fought the terrorists across the earth, not for pride, not for power, but because the lives of our citizens are at stake. Our strategy is clear. We've tripled funding for Homeland Security and trained 500,000 first responders because we're determined to protect our homeland. We're transforming our military and reforming and strengthening our intelligence services. We are staying on the offensive, striking terrorists abroad so we do not have to face them here at home. And we are working to advance liberty in the broader Middle East because freedom will bring a future of hope and the peace we all want. And we will prevail. Our strategy is succeeding. 4 years ago, Afghanistan was the home base of Al-Qaeda. Pakistan was a transit point for terrorist groups. Saudi Arabia was fertile ground for terrorist fundraising. Libya was secretly pursuing nuclear weapons. Iraq was a gathering threat, and Al-Qaeda was largely unchallenged as it planned attacks.
Och nu är det vissa protester som har smugit sig in där på golvet som gör att en större del av publiken börjar skrika 4 more years för att överrösta protesterna. Och Bush fortsatte att tala, men nu gör han en liten paus medan protesterna bärs ut. Och de flesta skanderar nu 4 more years igen.
Today, the government of a free Afghanistan is fighting terror. Pakistan is capturing terrorist leaders. Saudi Arabia is making raids and arrests. Libya is dismantling its weapons programs. The army of a free Iraq is fighting for freedom. And more than 3/4 of Al-Qaeda's key members and associates have been detained or killed. We have led, many have joined, and America and the world are safer. This progress involved careful diplomacy, clear moral purpose, and some tough decisions. And the toughest came on Iraq. We knew Saddam Hussein's record of aggression and support for terror. We knew his long history of pursuing, even using, weapons of mass destruction. And we know that September the 11th requires our country to think differently. We must, and we will, confront threats to America before it is too late. In Saddam Hussein, we saw a threat. Members of both political parties, including...
Och nu händer det samma sak igen här.
Members of both political parties, including my opponent and his running mate, saw the threat and voted to authorize the use of force. We went to the United Nations Security Council, which passed a unanimous resolution demanding the dictator disarm or face serious consequences. Leaders in the Middle East urged him to comply. After more than a decade of diplomacy, we gave Saddam Hussein another chance, a final chance, to meet his responsibilities to the civilized world. He again refused. And I faced the kind of decision that comes only to the Oval Office. A decision no president would ask for, but must be prepared to make. Do I forget the lessons of September the 11th and take the word of a madman? Or do I take action to defend our country? Faced with that choice, I will defend America every time. Because we acted to defend our country, the murderous regimes of Saddam Hussein and the Taliban are history. More than 50 million people have been liberated, and democracy is coming to the broader Middle East. In Afghanistan, terrorists have done everything they can to intimidate people. Yet more than 10 million citizens have registered to vote in the October presidential election, a resounding endorsement for democracy. Despite ongoing acts of violence, Iraq now has a strong prime minister, a national council, and national elections are scheduled for January. Our nation is standing with the people of Afghanistan and Iraq, because when America gives its word, America must keep its word. As importantly, we are serving a vital and historic cause that will make our country safer. Free societies in the Middle East will be hopeful societies, which no longer feed resentments and breed violence for export. Free governments in the Middle East will fight terrorists instead of harboring them, and that helps us keep the peace. So our mission in Afghanistan and Iraq is clear. We will help new leaders to train their armies and move toward elections and get on the path of stability and democracy as quickly as possible. And then our troops will return home with the honor they have earned. Our troops know the historic importance of our work. One Army specialist wrote home, "We are transforming a once sick society into a hopeful place." The various terrorist enemies we are facing in Iraq, he continued, are really aiming at you back in the United States. This is the test of will for our country. We soldiers of yours are doing great in scoring victories and confronting the evil terrorists. That young man is right. Our men and women in uniform are doing a superb job for America. Tonight I want to speak to all of them and to their families. You are involved in a struggle of historic proportion. Because of your service and sacrifice, we are defeating the terrorists where they live and plan, and you're making America safer. Because of you, women in Afghanistan are no longer shot in a sports stadium. Because of you, the people of Iraq no longer fear being executed and left in mass graves. Because of you, the world is more just and will be more peaceful. We owe you our thanks, and we owe you something more. We will give you all the resources, all the tools, and all the support you need for victory. Again, my opponent and I have different approaches. I proposed in the Congress overwhelmingly passed $87 billion in funding needed by our troops doing battle in Afghanistan and Iraq. My opponent and his running mate voted against this money for bullets and fuel and vehicles and body armor. When asked to explain his vote, the senator said, "I actually did vote for the $87 billion before I voted against it." Then he said he was proud of his vote. Then, when pressed, he said, "It was a complicated matter." There's nothing complicated about supporting our troops in combat.
President Bush för några timmar sedan på republikanernas partikonvent i New York. och talan höll som avslutning på konventet. Det här är Radio Nacka 99,9.
Our allies also know the historic importance of our work. About 40 nations stand beside us in Afghanistan and some 30 in Iraq. I deeply appreciate the courage and wise counsel of leaders like Prime Minister Howard, President Kwasniewski, Prime Minister Berlusconi, and of course, Prime Minister Tony Blair. Again, my opponent takes a different approach. In the midst of war, he has called American allies, quote, a coalition of the coerced and the bribed. That would be nations like Great Britain, Poland, Italy, Japan, the Netherlands, Denmark, El Salvador, Australia, and others. Allies that deserve the respect of all Americans, not the scorn of a politician. I respect every soldier from every country who serves beside us in the hard work of history. America's grateful, and America will not forget. The people we have freed won't forget either. Not long ago, 7 Iraqi men came to see me in the Oval Office. They had X's branded into their foreheads, and their right hands had been cut off by Saddam Hussein's secret police, the sadistic punishment for imaginary crimes. During our emotional visit, one of the Iraqi men used his new prosthetic hand to slowly write out in Arabic a prayer for God to bless America. I am proud that our country remains the hope of the oppressed and the greatest force for good on this earth. Others understand the historic importance of our work. The terrorists know. They know that a vibrant, successful democracy at the heart of the Middle East will discredit their radical ideology of hate. They know that men and women with hope and purpose and dignity do not strap bombs on their bodies and kill the innocent. The terrorists are fighting freedom with all their cunning and cruelty because freedom is their greatest fear. And they should be afraid, because freedom is on the march. I believe in the transformational power of liberty. The wisest use of American strength is to advance freedom. As the citizens of Afghanistan and Iraq seize the moment, their example will send a message of hope throughout a vital region. Palestinians will hear the message that democracy and reform are within their reach, and so is peace with our good friend Israel. Young women across the Middle East will hear the message that their day of equality and justice is coming. Young men will hear the message that national progress and dignity are found in liberty, not tyranny and terror. Reformers and political prisoners and exiles will hear the message that their dream of freedom cannot be denied forever. And as freedom advances, heart by heart and nation by nation, America will be more secure and the world more peaceful.
Det här är Radio Nacka 99,9. Jag heter Lasse och jag spelar upp det tal som president Ulf Bush höll för några timmar sedan på sin Republican National Convention i New York, och ska snart avrunda den.
America has done this kind of work before, and there have always been doubters. In 1946, 18 months after the fall of Berlin to Allied forces, a journalist in the New York Times wrote this: Germany is a land in an acute stage of economic, political, and moral crisis. European capitals are frightened. In every military headquarters, one meets alarmed officials doing their utmost to deal with the consequences of the occupation policy that they admit has failed. End quote. Maybe that same person is still around writing editorials. Fortunately, we had a resolute president named Truman, who with the American people persevered, knowing that a new democracy at the center of Europe would lead to stability and peace. And because that generation of Americans held firm in the cause of liberty, we live in a better and safer world today.
President George Bush, där får vi lämna hans tal. Klockan är strax 8. Det är dags att avsluta denna sändning. Han slog ut i radioföreningen Nacka. Och det var alltså avslutningen, kan man säga, på republikanernas stora convention som pågår i New York. Och George Bush höll talet för några timmar sedan, mitt, ja, var det 4-5 tiden svensk tid på natten. Så det var en chans att komma lite närmare förbi alla journalister och alla politiska filter och lyssna på George Bush tal. Det är väl några minuter kvar som vi inte hinner. Jag får se om man kanske kör dem på måndag eller så istället. Men så kan man höra. Vi säger tack och adjö. Vi hörs igen på måndag. Ha det så jättebra. God natt och god morgon.